It's Monday, February 13th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, show number 741, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Hey, folks, got a great show lined up for you. It was very chilly in Chicago. We'll talk about that more. And, of course, why there was no Thursday show. We'll talk about that here in a second. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central Podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central Podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central Studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran. And I hope everyone's doing good. Again, I want to give a warm welcome to all of the Ohana out there. Thanks for staying subscribed and being part of the family. And, of course, your support is always greatly appreciated. Well, there was no Thursday show. It turns out that the gadget professor ended up having a family emergency and was not able to basically tune in and do the show for me on Thursday. So instead of trying to find someone at the last moment, to do the show, I just basically just go ahead and let that show slide. But flew out Thursday night for Chicago and spent the whole weekend. Got back just about 3 hours ago. We'll talk about that here in just a second. But again, I want to give a warm welcome to all of the Hana and of course for listeners from around the world that tune into the show. Of course, viewers as well. We want to make sure if you're checking out the show for the very first time that you get over to geeknewscentral.com. And check out all our great content. We've got a great bevy of writers over there. And you can subscribe to our shows. All you got to do is there's a subscribe sidebar there with information on our audio, video shows, our special media events, morning tech show, gadget professor, and so forth. Get subscribed to all the shows. And that way you'll never miss a single episode of all of our great content and the website. But I am behind. I've got a lot of stuff to post to the blog this week. So stuff's going to be coming fast and furious. The writing team is well ahead of me on a bunch of content. I think we've got about 80 articles that need to go up online this week. We'll get those up and running for you. So look forward to getting that up. Hey, and while you're over at Geek News Central, you get signed up for the newsletter. The newsletter is, there's a link up there in the top right-hand corner. And all you got to do is just put your email address in there. And we won't spam you or anything. We'll just send you emails with the show notes in it. That makes it real easy for you to stay abreast of what's going on with the show. Of course, if you want to reach out to me here, all you got to do is follow me on Twitter at Geek News. And that's a real easy way to do it. Of course, you can tweet me at any time. Of course, you can do an email as well anytime. geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, our hotline is open 24 hours a day at 619-342-7365. I want to remind you all, you can get over to cafepress.com/Ohana store to check out all the Ohana wear. We've got lots of cool stuff over there for you to check out. Hey, we're going to go ahead here and get right into take care of a little business before we get into the content and before I share with you what happened this past weekend. You know, GoDaddy's a longtime sponsor here, and I've got a great deal for you. If you go over to GoDaddy.com, we're going to get you a special offer. We're going to save you 25% on web hosting plans of 12 months or more. So just check out their fourth generation hosting. It's secure cloud hosting that is lightning fast, even during the biggest traffic spikes. It's really easy to set up. One-click setup. Unlimited storage and bandwidth, scalable to your business needs, 24/security monitoring. And it hasn't failed us yet. For all of our serving all our media from CES 2012, we had some very, very big traffic days with that, bigger than anyone else would normally have on one of these accounts, and it held steady. So definitely check them out. I got lots of codes for you to use. Of course, you can come over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great codes that I have. And let's see if I can bring up the link that I want to share with you. All you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. and you'll find all of the special codes I've got. I've got .co, yes, .co domains right now for $7.99, and this is through the end of the month using COFEB3, COFEB3 is the code that you want to use. I also have another hosting offer that you want to check out. It's HostFeb3 is the code, HostFeb3. And of course, the 25% discount is CES2 is the code you can use there. Of course, check them all out at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Do want to take a few minutes and talk just a little bit about what has happened over the past really 3 or 4 days. Flew out of here Thursday night. Got into Chicago Friday morning, and actually mid-morning because I had some flight rearrangements. I had a great meeting with my team, and this was basically our winter retreat. Plus, I took care of a lot of the personal business as well. But our team really basically worked for 2.5 full days. 2.5 days and nights. Working on what we're going to be doing from a raw voice perspective for 2012. And I'm kind of terming this the year of the content creator. We're going to be doing lots of things and helping with tools. We're going to be doing some rebranding. One of the things that we decided on is the Tech Podcast Network is going to get rebranded. Probably at some point this year, we'll rebrand it strictly to TPN.TV. So looking forward to that rebranding. And a number of things as well, and it will be announcing as we go through. But guys swore me to secrecy. I can't share a lot. I will say that we spent about 6 hours talking about a feature set of stuff for content creators, and we're pretty excited about basically the roadmap that we've got marked out on where we're going to go. So and basically taking a lot of look at a lot of our core services and stuff that generates revenue and making sure that is up to speed as well. So that's kind of what took place during our cold retreat in Chicago. Had two great meals in the city. Should not have gotten the room service the last night. That was just like two thumbs down. I was kind of lazy. The guys had already flew out and left, and I was basically flying out this morning. And so I had to stay an extra night. Should have went out. The hotel food was horrible, but it had two previous nights made up for it, so I can't complain too much. But other than that, back in the saddle here in Honolulu. Expect to be really here most of the month of February. And I may have to go somewhere in about a month. No trips planned for a while, so we'll be running the show out of here and out of the studio. And boy, I tell you, I'm still behind. It's going to be a busy week. Lots of stuff. I'm a little bit, tonight a little punchy because, I basically right now I had already kind of adjusted to Chicago time, and it's approaching midnight there right now. So my body's, doesn't know what time zone it's in, but I wanted to get a show out for you tonight for sure. It was important to me that I did. So we're going to get right into it here in just a second. So a little bit dehydrated from all the flying and moving around and being in the cold weather. So definitely trying to stay hydrated tonight as we get ready to get into the full show. Hey, let's take care of one last piece of business here before we do so. And, being on travel this past weekend, business people are working remotely from their iPads or iPhones. And, they're leaving their laptops behind and they want to work lighter. They don't want to have to lug a bunch of stuff around. The iPad and iPhone can't replace your office computer. That is unless you have Go to My PC app. It's really the missing link. It turns your iPad and iPhone into your computer. So with Go to My PC by Citrix, you can access your entire Mac or PC, work on any program, save, edit any files from anywhere. And Go to My PC is convenient, reliable, and easy to use and sets up in just minutes. While on the go, you can even take care of an urgent request to edit a PowerPoint, update a spreadsheet, and so forth, print out a document, or work on any files right from your iPhone. It's pretty amazing. So try Go to My PC today with this special 30-day free trial. This is just for you. Visit gotomypc.com, click the try it free button and enter the promo code podcast. So this is really, really simple. Again, all you got to do is go to mypc.com, click on the try it free button and enter the promo code podcast. And you'll be able to get that free 30-day trial. I'm going to link to you guys tonight a demo that Jeffrey Powers did over at Geekazine.com. He did a pretty extensive demo showing Android, iPhone, iPad, how you can use it, how it really looks, how it operates. This is going to give you really a lot of detailed information on using GoToMyPC. And I think you're going to find the offering pretty compelling. So I have it up there for you in the show notes tonight. You'll be able to link to that demo and take a look. It was easy because I had three of the machines that I have, basically that I have a lot of stuff on. I was bouncing into when I was in Chicago. So, that file's over there. I think I worked on this one here. So it was really made it easy to manipulate stuff on my computer here at home. Had to help my son with something one time. You know, it just worked out really good. So definitely check it out. But anyway, I have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. Hey, don't want to waste too much time here. I want to get right into the live content tonight. We'll take care of one more sponsor a little later in the show. But lots of cool stuff going on. I'm a big fan of some of the stuff that Viasat is putting into the marketplace. And the folks over at Engadget were able to get a demo. They went to Camp Pendleton and actually was able to see a Viasat with a Surf Beam 2 portable video system all hooked up and ready to go. And this thing fits in a briefcase. It's amazing. Not cheap. $20,000. It's a go-anywhere satellite broadband rig. They have coverage in pretty much the entire world. And what they're getting with this is just extraordinary. Here's the folks. It's obviously probably more targeted towards FEMA or Homeland Security, military, and so forth. But even those that are doing broadcasting like we do here, we go on different trips. This thing has got the ability to have 12 megs down and 3 megs up. Now, I don't know what the price on the bandwidth is, but this is pretty remarkable. You just set the dish up, basically kind of aligns itself, and it's just cool. And I was looking, there's about a 12-minute video. It shows the entire setup, how it's packed away, you know, and being on the internet, pretty slick. It really was. So I have the link up in the show notes for you. I don't know how they got on this, got into Camp Pendleton for this demo. That's pretty impressive that the Engadget team got on there, but I guess it was some sort of event there that the Viasat was having. But this Surf Beam system is pretty awesome. Probably out of the price range for the majority of us, but you know, you never know. The stuff is going to come down in price over time as third-party resellers come online as well. Next article up is talking about blocking. Iran is currently blocking access to Google's encrypted search. This is pretty serious here. They've they don't want people searching encrypted. They want people to spy on any unencrypted transactions. So they're forcing anyone that's using YouTube or Gmail to use it some of it's locked out, but you're not going to do encrypted searches. You have to do stuff in the wild. You have to do it open, you know, with an HTTP, not with an S. So I'm sure this is a indication of some soon-to-be anniversaries of some major events. So maybe that's why they've cracked down, but definitely they've locked the pipe down. Aren't you glad you live in a country that doesn't censor or restrict what you do on the internet? It's pretty scary to think what a country can do, and we've seen this a number of times. There's a good article over on Gizmodo talking, and the title of this article is "Wow, I'll Never Trust a Human with My Data Again," and it all goes into hosting with a company that you can trust. The guy that wrote this post, is, I think, metafilter.com, pretty big site. And he's been using a host called Corner Host for a while. And the, I guess it's basically one of these small time, operators of web hosting sites. But this guy that runs this has pretty much went MIA for a number of months. And some of his domain registrations for his servers were set to expire tomorrow. And what that means is his customers will not be able to log in to their accounts via FTP or SSH to get their data. Now, that doesn't mean that their sites weren't going to be available, but potentially stuff could start failing if DNS servers were going down the whole nine yards. So, you know, the folks have been in a bit of a panic to reach out to this guy. And finally, he kind of surfaced after many months of being, in at the ninth hour. He said, "Hey, I'm still here. I've been going through some personal stuff. Sorry." So here you've got a one-man show that's running a hosting service that is running multiple accounts. They've got lots of customers up on their servers and a single person. Can you really trust someone that has that small of a business? And, especially the company touted this personal touch type of web hosting. You got to be with someone that you can trust. And it just pretty blows me away here that a big site like Metafilter was in risk of going down because their hosting provider, their one-man show hosting provider, was getting ready to, basically pull his, he was going to lose his domains. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes on this, but should make sites like that really sit back and say, where do I really need to be hosting at? Next article up is that the U.S. and the European regulators have given Google the green light to purchase Motorola, the Motorola Mobility Group. And this is a big deal. This come on the same day. And although it was kind of a mixed ruling in that the folks at Justice basically said, hey, we're going to be, and if you're going to take any of those 1,200 patents and use this to, quote unquote, start squeezing people on, we're going to have some antitrust issues. So this $12.5 billion purchase has definitely drawn scrutiny from regulators both here in the United States and in the European Union. So we'll see. But the Justice Department has said they don't see this merger as an immediate threat to the competition. And again, it did give them a warning. And at the same time, the same day that the merger was announced to be approved, Apple went out and basically filed a new suit against Motorola Mobility specifically. So here you are. You've got the Department of Justice and stuff, not Department of Justice, but the, Federal Trade Commission or whoever's the one that gives, the U.S. Justice Department giving the okay for the merger. And then Apple comes right in behind and files a suit saying, hey, Apple is asserting that Motorola Mobility does not, basically is using its power with its patents to try to strong arm people. So that's funny. So as the quote says, Apple sued Motorola Mobility for asserting rights to a certain industry standard patent on Friday, the same day the word leaked that European and U.S. regulators intend to grant antitrust clearance. So Apple's 16-page complaint filed in federal court in San Diego asserts that Motorola Mobility is wrongfully claiming Apple infringed a patent that was adopted by International Standard Settings Body. So here we have Apple's basically saying, hey, if you're going to let them merge, you're going to let this acquisition take place, we want these patent things thrown out. So they're definitely using the language that the Department of Justice put in their approval to basically say, no, don't come after me now. And we don't want this patent to be used against us. So I thought it was interesting timing by Apple. And how did Apple know in the first place that the Department of Justice was going to basically kind of warn Google that it would not hesitate to take appropriate enforcement action to stop any anti-competitive use of standard essential patent rights? So, interesting move. We'll see what Google does. Of course, Google's got deep pockets, so we'll see where this moves to. Google TV, using it more and more. I'm finding I'm splitting my time between Google TV and the Roku box. And I'll be honest with you, my Logitech since the update has been fantastic. But there is an update to, let's see if we can get this. Oh, of course, it's going to run a stupid ad here. Let's come back to the page. I hate that. I don't need to see two Verizon ads on your website. All right, there we go. Google TV YouTube app update is now available via the App Store. So I guess this is a big announcement they had today. They were teasing some updates were coming to Google TV. And actually, some of you actually texted me, and I got a few emails on this as well. I think someone even tweeted me on this. But if this is the big announcement, there's been an update to Google TV YouTube app. Now, another thing that they've announced is kind of a shift in making all of their partners make sure that they were going to make available all the YouTube video stuff as well. So this is kind of an interesting move, but there should be an update for those of you that have a Google TV. And like I'm said, I've been using mine a lot. Matter of fact, we were playing with it quite a bit with the guys there in Chicago, had it up, running our apps through, making some changes. Actually, our app went through an update today as well. There's been an update published. So I got to get in and check and see what the devs did. And there was a few tweaks that we'd asked them to make. So I'll definitely be checking that out. Hey, let's shift gears here a little bit. There's all kinds of remote flying devices now. And we've seen even some of the videos we did at CES, some of these, they're really more than toys at this point. But can you imagine taking your $16,000 camera? And let me show you this. They've got it mounted to one of these copters. And all I can say is I hope someone really knows how to fly. And this was an article over on Engadget. But can you imagine attaching in the way they have? Those of you that are just listening, you'll need to go over and check this out. But imagine it's one of these little helicopter deals that's got about 6 or 7 motors on it. And a fairly impressive rig. And they're flying this thing around with a Canon C300 on it. Again, a $16,000 camera. And this thing's really not in any type of a housing. It's just, hanging out underneath on a metal bracket. All it takes is this guy to crash this thing, and there goes your camera. But I guess you would want someone that knows how to fly this very well before you would... You would risk sticking this piece of gear under. Now, this doesn't look like an inexpensive piece of equipment, but it makes me a little bit nervous seeing it and knowing how I fly. I wouldn't want to put any of my cameras on one of those things because it would end up in a swimming pool or in a tree or some other place that would not be healthy. All right, the European Space Agency conducted a successful test of its newest Vega rocket. This is designed to carry up to 9 objects totaling less than 2 metric tons. So this is a 4-stage vehicle. It stands 30 meters tall. And basically, they're trying to get satellites that are hitching a ride essentially on a ICBM. It's basically the same type of a lift vehicle. And but they're pretty happy with the... With this initial launch, and again, this is designed to deliver low tonnage objects to high places. So another advancement by the European Space Agency. When we were in Vegas, I got to see the PS Vita, and I got to play with it quite a bit. And I'll be honest with you, absolutely beautiful screen. And the launch is just a few days away. You can pre-order. I think you get access to the PS Vita on the 19th. I think it's going to be available in stores on the 22nd, where you're going to be able to go in and buy it at retail. And I really, the video we did with the folks at Sony didn't turn out so well. It was one of those videos I haven't put up online specifically because it just didn't turn out that great. They didn't have the right type of people to talk to me there. But I was very impressed with the PS Vita. And the screen is extraordinary. You know, this thing offers some pretty huge, it's basically got a massive amount of power. It's got a variety of input methods. And, you know, it's basically taking a couple of plays out of the Apple playbook as far as games that you can buy. It's got, of course, a browser, and you can play movies and take photos and manipulate stuff. It's really pretty slick. And I'm really looking forward to seeing this on the market. Now, I have not gotten any of my kids pressing me for one of these yet. And largely, I just think it's kind of off their radar for some reason. But once they see these screens, I'm sure this is going to go on a wish list. Now, are any of you out there that are listening, are you guys thinking about picking up a PS Vita? Have you been following what's been going on with this new PlayStation? I'm going to be honest with you. I almost want one just because the screen was that nice on it. But I think it's going to start $249 or $299, and I think it's going to be worth every penny. Absolutely. So that's forthcoming. All right, the folks over at Kodak, you know, I missed this announcement on the last, basically they announced on their last show that they're leaving the digital space. And, you know, this is pretty sad. If you think about Kodak filing for bankruptcy, I remember as a kid, my first camera was probably the one that's pictured here online. It was a Kodak small camera, had a cube on top. Basically, you had to use the film, the little snap-in film. It was a nice little camera. And you know, they really were the leaders for many years. And with the change of digital and everything else, they really didn't make the move fast enough. So now that Kodak says that they are going to completely get out of the camera business, you know, it's going to leave a lot of folks hanging that have some of their gear. But, you know, there's a lot of companies that have got lots of other digital video cameras and regular cameras as well. But definitely an end of an era here. And they've got a lot of patents that they can use, and they still got a big commercial business, commercial print business. So, you know, I'm sure they're going to come out of bankruptcy a different company. But at the same time, they definitely are, you know, it's end of an era for Kodak. And those of you that are, you know, basically were around to see some of the, cameras that they came out with years and years ago. We all can probably, you know, look back on that fondly, but it's definitely a business that's moved on. And Rochester, New York will definitely never be the same. Gizmodo has an article up that they're saying it was perhaps the most striking photo taken last year. And when I saw this, I kind of had to agree with them. And I'm hoping I can blow this up. Can I blow this thing up and make it bigger? Let's see here. Let me try. This photo was taken in North Korea. And here's what's striking about it. Here's North Korea at dusk. And what it shows is all the buildings completely black, completely out. And the only thing that has light on it is a picture of, and this was before the death of the prior North Korean leader, and Kim Jong-il, and whatever his name was. But anyway, you see just, you know, completely black in all the other buildings, and just one light shining on this guy's picture. And you think about it, mean, just that is to me is very striking and kind of scary at the same time. But definitely one thing that we can look, you know, basically we can be happy with here. We, at least at this point, the lights aren't being shut off. But I think this picture was actually taken by a Reuters press person. So don't know exactly who has credit for the image, but it's amazing that here you got all these buildings with no power yet. They've got electricity to shine on the their leader. That's progress for you. That's a country that is moving on up. sad. You know, I've been a big fan for years of a company called Camelback. You know, being retired military, we used to pack. I used to take at least two Camelbacks with me when I would deploy, and Camelback's always been a great product. Well, Camelback has come out with a new product. It's a bacteria battling water bottle, and it uses a UV blasting cap. Now, this is kind of an interesting deal here. Camelback, obviously, is known for its water-filled backpacks. And the new all-clear bottle incorporates this new bacteria-limiting ultraviolet cap for this time when you have to fill up from a non-filtered source. So what they've done here is they basically have the ability for you to purify up to 25 ounces of water. All you have to do is fill the bottle, securely attach a cap, turn on the ultraviolet lamp, and then shake it for 60 seconds. What they're saying here is the process is claimed to kill 99.999% of bacteria, 99.99% of viruses, and 99.9% of protozoic organisms. Now, the bottle's $100, but, you know, I could... this would be something that would go into my survival kit. If I was looking to build a survival kit, this would be definitely a product. Now, obviously it runs on batteries, so it's only going to be as good as the battery is. But, you know, if you're out in a situation where you have to get water out of a stream or out of a less than, less than pristine place, if this works the way it says it does, 60 seconds, you can have water that may not taste great, but at least you'll have water that, is bacteria and virus free. So I'd like to see some independent testing on this for sure. But this is a new product by Camelback. Again, available for $100. Purifies up to 25 ounces of water. Folks at GigaOM have a pretty good article about, and it's entitled, "When Does Sharing Become Stealing?" And this is an interesting write-up. And this is basically talking about, all right, at what point do, you know, when your kids leave home to go to college, do they quit using your Netflix account? Or when does the, you know, the neighbor who gets HBO and you don't have it, he gives you his password, allows you to watch HBO on HBO Go via some of the other devices that are out there. You know, there is a password sharing phenomenon that's going around now. People are basically sign up for a service and then they're sharing their username and password with other family members. And at what point are companies going to start banning this practice? And basically, you know, basically saying, your kids go off to college, no longer can they use your single Netflix account. They have to get their own. You know, I really believe in, you know, as long as that child is underneath my working under, basically I'm supporting them and they're not have their own job and I can claim them on my income tax. I feel I should be able to share and allow them to use username and passwords and stuff that I subscribe to. And if I subscribe to HBO, I feel I should be able to give them the account information to be able to get access to HBO Go. What do you guys think? Is this going to be a bigger issue for independent companies that are trying to, you know, premium services? You know, sharing's been around a long, long time. I don't see it changing anytime soon, or maybe they can't stop it. I don't know. But the folks at GigaOM are bringing this up and basically saying, hey, sharing versus stealing. So am I a thief? You know, how about others who share accounts? What happens when more people realize that they can use their family, friends, or neighbors' login to get access to a lot of the same content they would otherwise have to pay for? What if they're willing to go halvesies on account? So one person pays half, the other person pays half. Is that the same as hooking a splitter up to a coax and running it to the neighbor's house? And what do you think the cable industry is going to be able to do about it? Interesting. I'm sure there's something in the terms of service that says you're not supposed to do that. But I'm also sure a lot of people are not abiding by that as well. All right, moving on here. There's a great article by BitTorrent inventor Ram Cohen, who demoed his peer-to-peer live streaming protocol in San Francisco on Monday. And this is something I've been waiting for. I've been waiting for them to announce this. And the peer-to-peer folks have been working on this for a number of years, and they're very close to rolling this out. But this peer-to-peer live streaming protocol is eventually going to allow all of us to stream live video to millions of computers with no central infrastructure. Those of you that are watching the show live right now are watching on an Amazon web server running Flash Media, which costs me X number of dollars per minute and X number of dollars per gigabyte that's being transferred, not dollar cents. But irregardless, you're watching on something that has to have a central infrastructure. And this new peer-to-peer live streaming that they're coming up is close. Now, they've started running a number of field tests on its website, and they've been streaming weekly live music events with the peer-to-peer protocol. But we'll see where this goes. But I'm pretty excited about what they have to offer here. And I think content creators like me would love to have this so that when I get done with the show tonight, for me to continue running the stream, it could become very expensive. You know, maybe I have a primary stream up and running when we're initially live and doing live stuff, and then go to a peer-to-peer stream when we're in replay. Could save me a lot of money. But I love his thoughts that his goal is to kill off television. So it's just something I've been watching and I'm excited about, and I'll keep you guys advised of where this goes. But you can definitely check out some of their field tests by going over to BitTorrent.com and checking out the BitTorrent Studio DJ sets and stuff that they've been playing over there. So definitely have that link up for you in the show notes to check out. Probably the most intriguing article of the day is by RealDanLyons.com. And the article is entitled "Hitmen, Click Cores, and Paid Apologists, Welcome to Silicon Cesspool." And he really goes after a certain individual by the name of Michael Arrington and the Crunch Fund. And here is, it's a pretty long article, and I recommend you go read it. But here's the essence of the article. Basically, after Michael left TechCrunch, and he started to set up his own angel fund, he went to all these angel investors that he knows in the Valley and says, hey, we want you to invest $500,000. Write me a check. And most of these angels and VCs wrote Michael a check for $500,000, which generally that's a rounding error for them. You know, that's the type of money they're working with, where $500,000 is really not a big deal. It's hard to say that people, that's kind of like an insignificant amount of money. But basically, the VC portfolios companies then have an insight into having access to Michael Arrington and the Crunch Fund. So basically, what they're doing, and what Dan Lyons is suggesting here, is that Crunch Fund and Michael Arrington are no better than a new kind of PR firm. And he uses several examples. Last week there was, a huge uproar where a New York Times editor posted an item criticizing Path and their, and basically where they were caught up in a firestorm where they were, had been, you know, Path had been caught uploading entire address books. Now, Path is one of the portfolio companies of Crunch Fund, and immediately both Arrington and one of his partners came out and just absolutely attacked Nick Bilton of the New York Times. And I know Nick, he's a nice guy. And he writes good tech articles. But they came out and just absolutely double barrel shotgun blasted him. And they are an investor, have a stake in Path. So it's an interesting move. Here you have guys that have huge tech influence and be able to write articles about companies, startups, and they're well followed. And then also have money coming from VCs so that the VCs are basically trying to stay friends with Mike. And then Mike investing that money in these other companies. It's kind of like this, just like almost pay to play type thing. It's this big circle and it's a self-feeding machine. And I think I have to agree with Dan Lyons in that we've got a big issue and who can you trust in bringing you commentary about stuff in the tech space. Now, I try to be careful whenever there's something that I'm reviewing, something I'm talking about on this show that has anything to do with any of our sponsors. And I try to take and not I try to be as fair as possible. And also at the same time, I try to, I guess for better words, not slant something to my advantage. And, you know, a case in point, we had that article earlier tonight about this company. It was a one-man show for a content creator. Now, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, go get a GoDaddy account, right? And I tried within the article to talk about who do you trust when you're hosting out there? Are you trusting with a one-man show or do you trust somebody that's bigger? Now, you guys could actually say, well, Todd, maybe you are trying to get more business for GoDaddy. I try when I do these articles, when there's something that has a parallel to try not to go there. And it's difficult. So I understand to a certain extent the challenges that probably Michael Arrington faces. But at the same time, it does raise some good points on transparency and having to work. I think I'm going to have to work harder in maintaining transparency. But it's pretty obvious that when you are, you know, financially invested and you go attack someone that's criticizing it, that's a little bit of a moment. It really is. So, you know, Path was definitely caught doing something they shouldn't do. And they had a big PR issue on their hands all last week. And they're probably still going to be punished by the users. But while the VCs have never been promised any special treatment, you can almost be guaranteed that when they were writing checks to Michael Arrington, they probably said, hey, it can't hurt to have Mike as a friend. And when you wrote him a check for $500,000, you know, that buys a lot of friends. So I have this link up in the show notes. I'd love to have you guys go and read this in its entirety. Send me your comments on this, on what you think. You know, do you trust people that are writing about tech in Silicon Valley? Do you trust sites that like Geek News Central that really isn't Silicon Valley and we're not in part of that in group? What do you think? And I'd love to hear your feedback on this one. According to his comments on realdanlyons.com, a lot of people are saying, you know, like, Dan, you're my hero for writing this about someone well stated, bravo. Talks about, people are, you know, basically in his corner cheering on this. And so it is true. One person says, I wonder how one could be a journalist and be an investor in the same market. It raises questions. It does. And I've thought about it before, but not as in depth as I have today after reading this, this article on the realdanlyons.com website. Dave Weiner comes back and says that Dan Lyons blasts Mike Arrington and MG Siegel for being relative cheap PR reps for the companies that blog about. He says it's fun to read up to a point because he says so well what we've been thinking about these guys. But there's a problem with all this, including Lyons posts. They're changing the subject, making it about personalities, not address books. And this is, again, going back to the path issue. He says users are exposed, maybe millions of them, and the tech industry hasn't offered help to or even to stop. He says, which of the apps on my iPhone is transmitting everything I think is private, and to whom are they transmitting it to? That's a good question. You know, that's a deeper question. But I think Dave's right in both points, and that, you know, it's a good point that he brings up. But at the same time, you know, just how much data is crossing the wires and calling home to mama. You guys remember back in the day when we first started podcasting, a certain group installed basically a plugin into iTunes that every time you played a podcast, it called home to mama. And the community just screamed bloody murder. I mean, so loudly that company doesn't exist today. But I would imagine if someone does something like that today and basically tracks when you press play and when you press stop and when you fast forward and on your, you know, on your mobile devices and so forth, you may not even know it. And people probably wouldn't scream as loud as they did then. There'd be a few people that'd be naysayers on that, but it would raise eyebrows, you know, or maybe it wouldn't. Maybe we've moved beyond that. I'd love to hear what you guys think. Are you guys worried about what people are watching and listening to on your device? You know, are you, do you wonder what data is being fed back and supplied to third parties and analysis being done on what you're doing on the web? It's a good question. So Dave's right. Basically, it's an interesting point on Arrington and also on what's really happening with our devices. I want to take just a break here for just a second and thank one of our sponsors, the folks over at Mosey. They have been with us here for now just about 2 months, and we'll be going back to them after this, basically after this show, and seeing if they want to renew. So this is really going to be your last chance here over the next couple of days to check Mosey out, and I really want you to do this. If you haven't done it already, help the show out and help yourself out, more importantly, by giving the folks over at Mosey a call. You know, when it comes to running a business, there's a lot of things you have to get right. You have to hire good people. You have to have a good bookkeeper. You have to have all different things in place to sell product and protect your business. And by protecting your business, one of those things is protecting the data. Matter of fact, we talked about Keyman insurance at our retreat. So basically, what would happen if I got hit by a bus, or what would happen if Angela got hit by a bus? How would we recover from that? And so, you know, we're data centers for the company. And at the same time, we've got regular data too. So, you know, computers, servers, hard drives, you know, and whoever's using tape backups now, I don't know, but they're all vulnerable to failure and data loss. And over 140,000 hard drives fail every single week, and only 7% of businesses survive beyond a year that lose their data. 50% of businesses that find themselves without data management for 10 days or more file for bankruptcy. That's pretty scary stuff. So I want you to really do what other companies have done. Companies like General Electric, Starwood Hotels, Accenture, they all use Mosey Pro to back up their data. Mosey Pro also backs up educational institutions like Stanford University and Yale School of Management. You can say, Todd, well, I'm not a big company like that. Well, Mosey's got folks that are small nonprofits, the folks that are landscape architects, small business owners, IT consulting companies, law firms, even accounting firms are using Mosey Pro. You know, Mosey Pro is easy to set up. It works on both Mac and PC. And if your business is not backed up today, give my friends at Mosey Pro a call. You really need to make sure your data is protected. And all you got to do is call 877-669-9776. You only got a couple of days here to do this again. Call 877-669-9776 or visit mozypro.com. That's M-O-Z-Y pro.com. Give them a call. And I had a number of you basically give me some feedback. You had some good discussions with their team. And I know a number of you have gotten set up. A couple of major businesses that listen to the show have gotten set up with Mosey for Business. And everything I'm hearing back is the experience so far has been a great one. So definitely give them a shot. And we'd appreciate it. Again, we look forward to having Mosey back as a sponsor. But tonight's the last episode that they're going to be running in the show for probably a couple of weeks. And we want to thank them for their support of the podcast. And we hope that you'll support them as well. All right. Apple stock today went above $500. Whoo, man. If you bought some back when it was cheap, you're just like happy, right? Well, it may split and there may be a dividend. And that's what's, and they think's really driving the price right now. And, you know, investors love dividends. They, you know, get a dividend every quarter. That's cash in the bank. So, you know, big investors that hold millions of shares, you know, a dividend can be worth a lot of money. It can be a big, big, big payday. So we'll see what Apple does. You know, Steve Jobs was not a big dividend type of guy. So we'll see if the company stays with their old school of way of doing things, or if the new CEO, Tim Cook, decides it's finally time to give investors a dividend. But if you think about it, the stock on January 12th was just about $400, and it cleared $500 today, which is, you know, a little over a month ago. So, you know, stock is up huge. It really, really is. Hey, I almost forgot. Fellas, I hope you're ready for Valentine's Day. I hope you're ready to, and ladies, I hope that you're, have gotten something nice for your honey. And I'll be honest, having been on travel, I'm getting my Valentine's stuff tomorrow. My wife actually gave me a little hint. She goes, honey, my perfume is almost out. And she says, you know, I could use you know, it'd be nice to have a day at the spa. So it'll be chocolates, some perfume, and a spa. Get them what they want. So anyway, hey, if you've been over at cryptome.org recently, they've been infecting visitors with virulent malware. They've had, there's been a huge number of attacks on high profile sites recently. Others included Ticketmaster, websites from Mexico and the state of Alabama, Dutch ISP, KPN, and the Microsoft store in India. So just be careful where you're going, and you're seeing stuff that pops up. You just be careful what you're clicking. But a number of high-profile sites have been getting hacked. All right, moving on here. If you're an iPhoto user, the Flickr option's been pretty crappy. There's been an update to a program called Flickr Export. So definitely check Flickr Export out. It's a plugin or an add-on for iPhoto. I've heard a lot of positive things about this particular add-on, and people that are trying to put stuff up to Flickr have had great success with this. Okay, all right. The Large Hadron Collider. If you remember when they started up LHC when it was initially being run up, they had some issues. And later this year, they're going to shut down LHC for an extended period to change some stuff out so they can run at the higher voltages that they need to run at. Actually, higher power. They've been running each beam right now at 3.5 TeV, whatever that is, for combined energy of 7 TeV, half of its energy design energy. So in other words, this thing was originally designed to go all the way up to 14 TeV. And they've got to go in and do some repairs and some updates, and they're going to be doing that at the end of this year. But they're looking forward to being able to run LHC at a higher level. But this year they are going to crank it up a little more and see, and they're going to double the throughput out of it to see if they can track down the Higgs boson that they feel it runs around, exists around 125 GeV. So anyway, we'll have some discussion about that as we move forward, but lots of stuff going on at the Large Hadron Collider in Switzerland. BBC's reporting end of the road for the work PC, and I don't know if I agree with this or not. How many of you are running into big changes in your businesses or where you work where you have a choice of laptop, smartphone, and tablet? Do you get to pick, or does your company just let you buy your own? Do you get to, or do you still locked in with an IT person that has a pre-configured machine? Are you going to more virtual stuff, stuff in the cloud? It appears many firms are following a more traditional route, offering a stipend of some sort of financial incentive. And some employers are allowing their employees to pick up their own laptops on their own tab. A survey covering 17 countries by business technology company Avandi found that 88% of executives and employees were using their own personal computer technologies or for business purposes. Absolute Software found that 64% of IT managers surveyed thought it was too risky to let personal devices be integrated to business network. However, 52% of companies allowed some form of access. So what do you see happening where you work? Are you seeing a change in them letting you have a Mac instead of having to run a PC? Are you to pick out a Droid or an iPhone instead of having to have the traditional BlackBerry? What's happening where you work? Is things changing where you're able now to, you know, basically have a PC of your choice and not have this big, you know, the company machine assigned to you and controlled by the IT guys? Love to hear your feedback. Geeknews@gmail.com. Ever wonder what the Aurora Borealis looks like from space? Well, some new footage from NASA shows the International Space Station recent view of the Aurora Borealis from the Pacific Ocean to the Western Quebec just as the sun came up. It's a pretty cool video, and I'll have a link in the show notes for you. And a pretty amazing sight, and this was over at CNET, and I have the link up again for you. Again, the shots were taken on January 29th, and so it's pretty amazing they got this up and made available for us already. All right, last few articles of the show tonight. You hear about this Kickstarter that went $1 million in less than 24 hours? Well, Double Fine Adventure Kickstarter project has now raised $1.7 million, 49,000 backers. It's done by a group that has created some games already, some action games. And the company basically went after a Kickstarter project to raise this kind of money because they had taken this game idea to a variety of different game manufacturers and none had bought off on the game and it was willing to invest in it. So when they went to their fans and said, "Hey, we're going to do this. We need $400,000." They've tripled that, or excuse me, quadrupled that to $1.7 million, and there's still 28 days to go. And actually, since I've updated the page, there are over 50,000 backers of this. And really, what's pretty cool is that if you pledge just $15, you get the finished game in all of its awesome glory on Steam, exclusive access to the PC beta, access to the video series, and access to the private discussion community. And they've even got stuff in here. If you pledge more than $10,000, you're going to get basically lunch with some of the team and all kinds of different stuff. So there's all kinds of cool rewards they're offering for big pledges as well. So I find it very cool. This is the first Kickstarter that did $1 million in raising money in less than 24 hours. Now, I've thought about doing some Kickstarter stuff here, but it just has, you know, it's Kickstarters are tricky. You gotta figure out what the number is you're trying to raise, what the exact goals are going to be, and then exactly what folks are going to get back. And, you know, you've got 30 days to raise the money. So I've been thinking about some Kickstarters. Love to hear you guys' thoughts on whether we should do one here for some apps. And because we've never got an iPhone or an Android app out for the show yet. And it's still, here we are 2 years past when we wanted to do that. But something I want to do for Geek News Central is to get some apps on the street for the show. And maybe a Kickstarter would be the way to have you guys help pay for it. And if you feel like you'd want to and help improve the show here. All right, AT&T has put limits on unlimited data plans. Oh, yeah. You know, those of you that have the unlimited data plans that never upgraded and you're paying $30 for unlimited, well, they're throttling people now when they hit levels like anywhere between 1.5 and 2.3 gigs of data for the month. And it is painfully slow and people are very, very upset. AT&T spokesperson Mark Siegel said that as of last summer, the top 5% of data users were using 2 gigs of data per month. But he also said the company wasn't actually throttling all of the top 5%. He said last month the figure was only 0.5% or about 200,000 people. So not everyone was throttled, but in those that were figured it out in a big way. And remember, Verizon, they don't slow the 5%ers down unless the cell tower their phone is connected to is congested at the moment. And it slows them down by a minimum amount necessary. By contrast, AT&T has decided to throttle your phone. It will be slow for the rest of the billing. I mean, slow as modem speeds, horribly slow. And of course, Sprint is still on limited data plans without throttling, along with the big four, among the other the carriers. TechDirt's got a pretty cool article on the penalty for content theft and how it compares to other crimes. If you're in New York City, and let's see, let me find the section on this where it talks about it. If you're in New York City and you fail to put money in a parking meter, you can get a ticket for $60. In New York City, failure to pay the $2.50 subway fare results in a maximum fine of $100. Now, copyright theft is obviously a very different story. Copyright infringement, statutory damage, and civil litigation can be as high as $150,000 for infringement. Now, you can't be charged civilly for not paying your parking meter fine or your subway fare fine. Now, you can be arrested criminally for not paying that, but you would not be have a civil issue where you go to civil court. You know, you got to pay your tickets, or you know, the cops would come get you. Or if you get stopped, they'll arrest you before you get your tickets paid. So if you look at it, if we work backwards to see how the law might punish those with similar infractions with a damages system similar to copyright. So again, if we take the copyrights law maximum penalty to price ratio as applied to an illegal download and apply that same penalty to the price ratio to the New York subway, the maximum penalty for jumping the turnstile and avoiding a $2.50 fare would be about $375,000 instead of $100,000. And so it's obviously the copyright industries are really, really good, have things really good under the current law. So it's yet the industry continues to say the copyright laws are too weak. And if you look at other minor things that people are doing, it makes you go, where's the, you know, there's definitely no, you know, alignment to fit the crime. But of course, copyright people say, well, it's a much worse crime to steal music than it is to get a parking ticket, a parking meter ticket. So I don't know. But anyways, good article up on TechDirt. I'll have the link up in the show notes. All right, the SpaceX COTS launch is delayed until late April. SpaceX has delayed its next demonstration flight of its cargo-carrying Dragon spacecraft until late April to deal with software issues. The company announced this week, SpaceX previously planned to launch Falcon 9 no earlier than March 20th after a January 20th postponement, but they basically said they got some software that needs to be fixed. So they're going to get that done and hopefully launch in around March 20th. All right, how many of you have got a car you bought new? The warranty is just about ready to go out on it, and you're starting to get hit up for a used car warranty or an extended warranty. Well, the folks over at Poplar Mechanics has a great article on how to get a used car warranty and not get essentially shafted. So there's some good information here on this Poplar Mechanics article. I have the link up in the show notes. Final article tonight, fellas, you're going to want one of these. It is a do-it-yourself airsoft. Basically, it's a pellet gun. Costs $15 to make, and this thing is pretty cool. Again, it's not metal pellets. It's pellets that will definitely, it'll owie you if you get them. It's not paintballs either, but I'm just going to give you a little bit. And when you see this thing, you're going to be like, oh, that's so cool. Link will be up in the show notes, and it's basically you have to have a compressor to make this work, but nice little fun project for the weekend. Probably not something you want the kids to play with, and fair warning on that. But anyway, I found that over at ogizmo.com. All right, folks, let me look and see what if I've got anything in email. And let me go over here and load this. And we'll see what we've got. Do we have anything tonight? Don't think so. I don't think we've got an email. And I know we didn't have any voicemails come in. If I missed your email, I apologize. I had a pretty full weekend. But again, if you've got comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com. geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. 619-342-7365. Follow me at Twitter at Geek News. Of course, we want to thank our sponsors again, GoDaddy.com. Check out all the promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We want to thank Go to My PC. Get that free 30-day trial. Go to MyPC.com. Click the Try It Free button. Use a promo code podcast. And Mosey Pro for Business at moseypro.com, or give them a call there on the telephone number on the website. But that's going to wrap it up for me. We'll see you back here on Thursday. Hope everyone takes care. Hope you enjoyed the show today. And voice is doing better. We'll see you next time. Take care and aloha.